Welcome to the Retzel Health Law Hotspot. Health Law Hotspot is a podcast for physicians and health professionals that covers the legal issues and trends that affect the healthcare industry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Health Law Hotspot. This is Erica Adler, shareholder at Retzel & Andrus and leader of our healthcare practice. Today, I'm joined by two of my colleagues. I have Christina Kuda, who's also part of our health law practice, as well as David Hockman, who's a shareholder at Retzel & Andrus and part of our health law practice, as well as the manager of our Chicago office. So welcome, guys. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Well, today is going to be a discussion about things that every practice should be thinking about as we wrap up the end of the year. So really, what kinds of resolutions should practices be making as we look forward to 2022? And I think this is a great topic because everybody's doing their year-end planning, and we want to make sure that these topics are ones that make it onto your list. So let me just start off by mentioning a few topics that we've covered recently in podcasts. So if you want to have more detail on any of these, I welcome you to listen to some of our recent podcasts. The first one has to do with Illinois non-compete provisions. The new statute goes into effect starting January 1. And as we talked about recently on a podcast that was with Adam Hirsch of our office, we talked about some of the changes to the contracts that are going to be needed, as well as the need to pay consideration to certain employees if you hope to enforce that non-compete starting in 2022. So as you put together some new contracts for new employees starting in 2022, you better make sure that you have those contracts updated if you want to enforce both non-compete and non-solicitation provision. And you can listen to that podcast for more information. Another important topic for you to be thinking of in 2022 is whether your office is set up to meet some of the vaccine mandates. In Illinois, we still have a vaccine mandate, so hopefully everyone's compliant, but there were some federal mandates that were proposed, and I covered this in a recent podcast with Karen Adenolfi out of our Ohio office, where we talked about the federal mandates. Now, you may have heard that there was a stay put on them, but the one related to OSHA has been released, and we do expect enforcement shortly. There's been some warnings to expect enforcement and fines. So if you're not sure if your practice is compliant with those vaccine mandates, now is the time to find out before 2022. Finally, another recent podcast that Christina Kuda and I did was on some of the clarifications that are coming out related to Stark. And these particular clarifications that we focused on was whether or not you were compliant with how DHS is being allocated within your compensation model. So practices should be starting immediately since this enforcement clarification goes into effect starting in 2022 to make sure that DHS within your office is now being allocated in accordance with all Stark requirements. If you have any questions about this, you can of course feel free to contact Christina or me. But first, listen to our podcast on that topic because we really dive into it in quite a lot of detail. So those are the three things I really wanted to put out there that should be on your list of resolutions as we head into 2022. So Christina, why don't you tell us some of the topics that you think should be on everyone's list for 2022?
Sure. There are three main issues that I foresee being important for 2022 when making your practice resolution. The first one is HIPAA. Many practices and healthcare providers put together HIPAA policies and procedures, often with the help from a consultant or downloading something from the internet back when HIPAA was enacted many, many years ago. The problem with that is there have been a lot of changes to HIPAA over the years, and you need to make sure that your policies and procedures, one, meet those legal changes, and two, also meet the requirements and procedures that your practice actually is doing in its day-to-day operations with HIPAA. Other things to consider with HIPAA are business associate agreements, making sure, one, that every business associate, as defined by HIPAA, that a practice works with, has in place a written HIPAA business associate agreement with the practice. Another thing to consider is making sure that you complete annual training with all your employees. Very important to make sure you have annual training. One, to make sure employees know the HIPAA policies and procedures and what's expected of them. And two, also to make sure that in the event there ever is a HIPAA breach and the government comes to your practice and wants to know what your policies and procedures are, one of the first things they'll look at is to make sure that you've actually trained your employees and update that training on an ongoing basis. Another thing to consider with HIPAA is to look at this past year and see if there have been breaches or if there have been lapses in security, even if they didn't rise to a level of a HIPAA breach, and sort of determine how that happened, why it happened, and what you can do to prevent that happening from the future, in the future. Anytime you have a HIPAA breach or security issue, HIPAA actually requires you to do that analysis and document that analysis, but it's very important to make sure that you prevent future HIPAA issues based on having a review and assessment of what occurred previously when a breach happened. Outside of HIPAA, it's very important to do an annual minimally record audit. A lot of practices have outside billers that do their billing, and some have internal billers that they employ directly. The concern is that your billers know what they know, and generally we're going to assume that they think everything they're doing is correct and requires no additional legal review, and that everything's compliant with the contracts where you've agreed to be a participating provider. We find almost on a weekly basis practices where that's not occurring. Billers are billing in good faith. People are completing documentation in good faith, but it turns out that the billing is not correct. Maybe there've been some changes in the way a code's billed. Maybe there've been changes in documentation requirements. When Medicare makes a change, almost all the commercial insurers follow in some way. So it's very important that you do routine audits. And if you haven't in the past, think about doing that early in 2022 to get a sense of where the issues may be in your practice. And if you have been billing something incorrectly, particularly when it's a government payer or state payer, seek out legal counsel to help you determine what you need to do to address that moving forward. You also may have an obligation to report that to the government and refund money that was billed inappropriately. In keeping with that, it's also really good to look at your office handbooks and your general office policies and procedures for a number of reasons. One, to make sure your handbooks for employees are up to date with current laws and rules, particularly with things changing now with COVID as far as vaccine requirements and masking requirements, PPE, et cetera. You want to make sure if you have any policies in place in the office, those are written down and made part of the office handbook or policies and procedure manuals as a formal directive of the practice. Another thing you want to look at is, are you actually acting in day-to-day practice with what your practice policies and procedures and handbooks state? For example, I had a client recently who I worked with that had an issue with an employee and they wanted to discipline that employee, and their idea for discipline was to suspend the employee for a couple of weeks without pay. They were not aware that their internal handbook and policy said for the action that the employee take, the first step is to actually terminate that employee. So now they're going to go look at their policies and do amendments as they see fit, but they weren't even aware that was a policy. So that's something you really want to look at and reflect to make sure that your policies are actually working for your practice, reflecting what you're doing in practice, and if not, work on amending them appropriately.
Great. All right, those are great resolutions for 2022. David, what about you? What are you recommending?
Well, there's one thing that is a statutory deadline. Most profit-sharing 401k plans, or called defined contribution plans, have to be amended to comply with changes in the law periodically. And the deadline for the current update, which takes place every 5 or 6 years, is August 31 of 2022. So it's important that you attend to this on a timely basis so that you can maintain your plan's qualified status. Some of the issues we've been talking about before, changes in how DHS income is allocated. Are you following, are your employment practices following what your manual says. Same issues present themselves in connection with employment agreements and buy-sell agreements. If you have buy-sell documents and employment agreements that have not been reviewed for many years, chances are they need revision for any number of reasons. One, if your buy-sell formula, your buy-sell agreement may have a formula that perhaps made sense 10 years ago, but no longer works in the context of the economics of your practice. In the employment agreement arrangement, it's common for an employment agreement to require a terminating employee to maintain tail coverage, but doesn't define the parameters of the tail. At the time some of those contracts were drafted, the only tail option available was one of unlimited duration. That's not the case today. You can buy tail as short as 1 or 2 years, one set of policy limits. So the practice may be expecting that a physician who leaves is going to buy an unlimited tail, but under the terms of the contract, he may be able to satisfy that obligation by buying a tail a much shorter duration. Compensation, these new rules about DHS may require an amendment in the compensation formula. You may find out that you've changed how you do things, and so the employment agreements no longer reflect what's going on in practice. There are some contracts with third parties are something that I think it's good to look at for a couple of reasons. One, it's not unusual for contract with vendors to renew themselves annually. And sometimes the contracts say you can only terminate it at the end of a 1 year term, but you have to provide 90 days notice. Many practices think, well, I'm going to change my provider who's giving me certain services, and the contract ends on November 30th. They think that, well, I can just call them up on November 1st and I'll be out. And in fact, they've missed the deadline. They're going to be stuck for another 13 months. Contract with third-party payors, particularly hospitals, or if you're providing services as an independent contractor, those contracts may require a physician or a practice to indemnify the party they're contracting with for medical malpractice. That's a contractual indemnity. There are very few, if any, medical malpractice policies sold in the state of Illinois that provide coverage for that. So if you undertake that obligation, you're going to pay those expenses out of your pocket. The other thing to be mindful of, you need to be alert for situations where employees or contractors you hire may be have been excluded or may be viewed as being bad actors by Medicare, Medicaid. There are some potentially severe penalties for failure to actually continuing to do business with these people. So you need to have a mechanism in place to review and make sure that you aren't doing business with a provider who's on an exclusion list. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
A lot to think about.
Yes.
Right. So these are just some ideas that we have as you're kind of thinking about the new year and trying to make a checklist for your practice. If any of these are things that you have not done recently, we highly recommend that you consider putting them on your to-do list. We've seen tremendous merger and acquisition activity in 2021. We expect that to continue in 2022. And we're, of course, happy to guide you through that process. One of the things to understand is some of the advice we've just shared with you are things that help make a transaction happen and happen efficiently. Through the due diligence process, your compensation methodology is compared with the one in your contract. And it's also reviewed to make sure that it's compliant with federal law. Right? Your buyout provisions might be examined so they understand what obligations are owed to a terminating shareholder, your non-compete provision, your compliance with state and federal law generally. So everything that we've recommended here also plays into your attractiveness as a potential target in 2022, as well as just protecting you to assure compliance with the law and compliance with all of your existing contracts. So we hope that you'll take these recommendations to heart, and we're happy to answer any questions that you may have on any of these topics. We hope you've enjoyed our very first completed year of podcast through the Health Law Hotspot. And we look forward to continuing to present you with topics in 2022. So thanks for joining us and being such a great audience this year. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
Other than the fact that it can seem maybe a little bit overwhelming to consider all these things, but not everything has to be done on January 1. Make a plan, determine what's important to you, and then take time out throughout the year to actually accomplish those tasks.
Great point.
Yes, but don't procrastinate.
That's true. I would say, you know, work out a time frame to meet all of these. And some of these you may not know how to handle. So feel free to call us and we can help you come up with a game plan, a schedule to get things done, and introduce you to the people that you might need to assist you in that process, whether that it's an accountant or a consultant to get you through examination of some of the points that we've mentioned. So, well, thanks everyone, and a happy and healthy new year to all of you. And we'll see you in 2022. Please listen to all of our podcasts at the Health Law Hotspot, and we'll see you next time.
The Retzel Health Law Hotspot is made available by the firm and its attorneys for educational purposes and to provide general information, not to provide specific legal advice. Use of the Retzel Health Law Hotspot does not create an attorney-client relationship between you and the firm or any of its attorneys. The Retzel Health Law Hotspot should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice, and you should contact an attorney in your state about any legal needs or questions you may have.